Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father,
Amen.
We thank you for your presence, Lord, with us this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being here. We thank you, Lord, that you have not left your people, O God. We thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you so much, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that we can know you this morning. We thank you so much, O God, that, Lord, we don't have to try to make you up, Father, but you're here. And you love us in the Son, Jesus Christ. We are in the Son, and we're so thankful. We're so thankful that we know you, Jesus, this morning. Oh, we praise you and worship your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for making us one body, uniting us together, oh God. Thank you for the miracle work of your love, and that love that flows out from one another. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Oh, Lord, we're grateful this morning for you. We're thankful, Lord, for all you've done for us. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your wonderful name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. There's a lot of pastors in this country and in the world that wish they had so many that loved them, that would pray for them. Beginning of a service like that, I'll tell you, that's a marvelous thing. I enjoy so much praying for Don, you know, and I know that it means a whole lot to him, but when you get on the receiving end, you realize just how wonderful it is. And Larry Walkenmeyer will be bringing the Word of God this morning, and both of us, I know, just feel so appreciative for the love of the saints, for how you minister to us and the minister to those that are ministering. That's such a marvelous thing. Hallelujah. Well, this morning I have something that's been on my heart for a little while, and I'm excited to bring it to you. And the title of my message, if you want to call it that, this sermon, this Sunday school lesson, is Man, Our Will, or the Devil? Question mark. Man, Our Will, or the Devil? Now, this message this morning was prompted by a little note that I received in my mailbox one day. And there was a brother that was asking a question, and he asked me, he says, "Brother, now which one is our greatest enemy?" And he was talking on, which one is our greatest enemy? Is it man? Is it our own will? Or is it the devil? Which one is our greatest enemy? And I contemplated on it for a while, and it took me, oh, I don't know, just a few minutes. I was just thinking about that. And then it just hit me. It just hit me. A revelation, I believe, and I want to share that with you this morning. Before I start, just out of my own curiosity, I'd like to ask, if you were asked the question, who is your greatest enemy? Which is the one that you really have to overcome? Man, your own will, or the devil? How would you vote? How many would vote for it's man? Now, you got to vote on one of them. How many say it's man? Greatest enemy. Okay. How many say it's your own will? Okay. How many say it's the devil? Okay. This is about how I thought you'd vote. I would say, just in guessing, that about 1% voted for man. Something like that. About 1% of you. I would say about 60 or 70%, probably 70% voted for the being your own will. And then 29% voted for the devil. Now, first of all, I want to give you the support that each one has, all right? The proponents of man, they'll say this. It can't be my own will, because we're masters of our own destiny. All we do is fundamentally because of our decision, and it's our will. And so it cannot be our will, because we have control of our destiny. We are not our own enemy. It is man who is our enemy. It cannot be the devil, because he's defeated. Christ conquered him. He's not our problem. We've overcome him by faith. Our problem is man, because him we cannot control. We can control our own will, and we can control the devil, but we can't control man. He also is master of his own destiny. Look at what has caused the damnation of souls. Persecutions. Lies that have been spread. Attacks on the church. It's man who is to blame for damning souls. It is man who intimidates you. It is man who mocks you. It is man who teaches lies. It is man who brainwashes us until we forsake the faith. It is man who stands there as a professor of religion and totally destroys the faith of those that have come out of their protected backgrounds in junior high and high school and so forth up to the Christian ranks, and then now they're out in the big university destroying their faith. It's man who is the conspirator. It's man who is trying to overthrow the governments of this world that are set to glorify God. It is man who operates through mass media. It is man who has brought all that filth through the television, and et cetera, et cetera. It is man. Satan could do nothing except man be there for him to work through. It is man is the one that the devil is using, but it is man's will, it is man's choice, and therefore it is man who is our enemy. He is the one that we cannot control. It is man. And the Scripture says, for instance, in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 6, Psalms 8 and verse 6, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." That is man. And we notice when we look in the Gospels, it was man that caused people to leave the faith. John chapter 7 and verse 13. "Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews." It was the fear of man. Look in John 12 and verse 42. Same thing. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." And remember, if you do not confess Christ, you are not saved. If you do not confess him, you're not saved. Look also in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 12. "Even our dearly beloved Peter fell and was to blame. And it was because of man's intimidation." Look at this. "For before that, certain came from James. He, Peter, did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come," it was those Jews that came and intimidated Peter that caused him to sin, "he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." So we see it's man, really. And according to the Scripture, it's man that we have got to overcome. He is our enemy. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Look at this one. "Let your behavior be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." He didn't say the devil. He didn't say his own will. He said man. So the fear was of man. Man is the one you have to overcome. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." It's the world you have to overcome. It's man out there. He is the one that causes you not to witness. He is the one that oppresses you, persecutes you, and you throw away your faith. He is the one that messes up your mind. It's man that we've got to fight. Now that's what the proponents of man would say. Many of you maybe have already changed camps. It's convincing. All three of them are convincing. Now, the proponents of our own will, listen to them. They say, now it cannot be man, because it's our reaction to man that causes us to fall. It's not man in himself, it's our reaction to man. All don't react to man and lose their faith. All don't become intimidated by man. Why? Because they chose not to. They chose not to. Man is only as great as you let him be in your own will. You have to decide to believe God, and then you won't fear man. You have to decide to love God, and perfect love casts out all fear. And then you won't have fear of man. And it can't be the devil, because he's defeated. He can't hurt us. In fact, the Scripture is clear on that. Let's all turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 19. Luke chapter 10, 17 through 19. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you." They have to. They've got to submit themselves. So don't rejoice in that. "But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because you made a decision. Rejoice because you have decided." That's what you want to rejoice in. Rejoice, that's the victory. Earth is here to test man, not to test the devil. It's our own will that has to be tested, not the devil. He's already defeated. And therefore, it is our will. We are the ones that are going to be judged. It's not the devil. He's already got a lake of fire prepared for him. But at the judgment seat, what's going to unfold is what happened to man. Therefore, what we have to fight is indecision. We've got to fight apathy. We've got to fight self-will. We've got to save our souls or we damn our souls. It's up to us what we do. In Luke 19 and verse 17, "In your patience possess your souls." Luke 17, 19. Nope. Thank you. Luke 21, 19. 21, 19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. And Rotherham translates that, by your endurance, you shall gain your lives for a possession. You gain your own life. You lose your own soul, or you save your own soul. It's up to you. It's your choice. Jesus commanded us, have faith. It's our choice whether we'll have faith or not. He commanded it, and therefore it's up to us. Jesus commanded, love the Lord your God. And so it's up to us. We have got to decide to love God. Therefore, the fight is against indecision, because it's up to our will. And as we sow, we shall reap. It's a reaping of what we decided to do, and therefore it's our own will. Okay, that's what the proponents of our own will say. Now, maybe some of you switch camps again. Now, the proponents of the devil, what do they say? And I'm just putting these in order that I got them in the note. So, that you know, the order isn't tipping anybody off. Now, they say it can't be man. Who motivates man? Who's behind man? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against man. That's not where we're fighting. Jesus fought the devil, not man. It's not man. It's the devil. And it can't be our own will, because who is it that weakens our will? Satan's the attacker, not our will. We're not to fight what God's given us. We're to fight what the devil has done. That's what we're to fight. Satan is the tempter, not our own will. Our will doesn't tempt us. It's the devil that tempts us. True, we make the choices. But it's Satan who's the mover behind them. And therefore, it cannot be man and it cannot be our will. It's got to be the devil. All right. Now, I'd like to take another vote, just for fun. You got to vote for one. How many feel that man is your greatest enemy? Man is your greatest enemy. Well, we gained, I don't think we gained a soul. I think we got about 1%. We lose some, lost some, and gained some. All right? How many say it's your own will? Okay. How many say it's the devil? It's just about the same. All right. Well, I have a feeling that hands moved around a little bit, but percentages are right on. And I couldn't tell in the last two, but the first one, I didn't see some of the same hands. I saw some new ones, but it all ended up being about the same. Well, I guess I'll speak my opinion. I believe God gave this to me. I feel strong about it. And after I'm done, well, I didn't give you a fourth choice. Because there's different ways. There's different ways, definitely, you can look at it. And in a way, all three are right. In a way. In a certain sense. But in another very real sense, one of them is right. In my opinion. One of them's right. Who said right? I was looking for Don Tuggle, actually, because I figured he'd probably have an opinion on that one. All right. Man is a true foe, a real threat. There's no doubt about it. But the scripture to me is clear, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. I get to turn there with me. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. When Elijah saw the armies of the Syrians compass around Gotham, I believe that's the name of the city, he said that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And as our pastor taught, the they is spiritual forces in both cases. They that be with us. There were angels of the Lord round about. There were angels of God in the chariots of fire. And then he said, they that be with them. So there were demons with them. There were evil spirits that were also with them. They that be with us and they that be with them. Man is pretty frail, pretty puny. It's true, he can do an awful, intimidating job. There's no doubt about that. But I'd like to read a few verses. First one is in Psalms 49:12. I'll go through these pretty fast. Psalms 49, verse 12. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. Psalm 78, verse 39. For he remembereth that we were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again. Psalm 103 and verse 14. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 22. Seek ye for a man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 64 and verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Man's pretty frail. Man's pretty weak. There's a power behind man, though. Now let's look at our will. We decide. There's no doubt about that. But I'm here to tell you this morning that 70% of you are wrong. In my opinion. We don't fight ourselves, brethren. There's been too much of it. And I'm going to show you what the result of it is. God gave us a will to love Him. And God, clearly in the Scripture, works in our will. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now we don't fight what's good. Now Paul said, to will is present with me. And we'll get to that after a little bit. To will is present with me. What God has created is not evil. You don't fight God's creation. There's another enemy to fight. And I think it'll get clearer when we go to Romans chapter 7. In my opinion, our adversary and our enemy is the devil. Clearly, clear cut, scripturally. Now let me see if I can prove that, and then we'll go back and talk more about the will. In my opinion, the enemy is the devil. He's the one that's got the titles. He's the one that's got the name. He's called the accuser. Revelations chapter 12 and verse 10. The accuser of our brethren. He's the one who is the accuser. He is also called the adversary. Now I want you to listen. Because I'm here to tell you, in my opinion, right now, that there are many of you that are laboring under something that God wants to break this morning. If you'll hear what I'm saying. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we see that He is the one who is called the adversary. Not your will. Not your will. It's the devil. He's the adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. It's the devil who is fighting you. Now, when Jesus fought, he had to fight the devil. In fact, that's what he's called. I'm giving you all some of his titles, not all of them. There's many more. But I'm picking the ones particularly that fit in with this characteristic of our enemy. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, not of his own will. He was tempted of the devil. It was the devil who was the problem. The devil, diabolos, in the Greek, means one who is an accuser or one who throws through. He riddles you with arguments. He riddles you with accusations. He's the devil. And then a little bit later, in verse 3, and when the tempter came, he said, he is the tempter. Your will doesn't tempt you. It's the devil who is the tempter. That's his nature. That's his character. He is also called the God of this world. Man is not the God of this world. It's the devil who is the God of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. He is also called the murderer. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Where Jesus calls him the murderer. But he is the murderer. And the liar. I think I'll read that verse real quickly. John 8 and verse 44. Now, it's true, there are other aspects. And like I said, really, you've got to fight all three of them in a certain sense. But there are too many that are fighting their own will, and they're doing the wrong, and they've got a misconcept. I don't mean everybody that raised their hands did, but I think there's something here for us to see. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He was there. He was there showing them who their father was and who it was that they were following. And that was the problem, and that's what they had to fight. He was called also the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Because he rules in the power of the air. He's the prince now. He is the prince of the power of the air. He's also called the prince of this world. He is the one that motivates in this world. He's the prime mover. He's also called the ruler of this darkness in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. He's also called the Wicked One. He's the Wicked One. If there's one who is wicked, he's it. He's the Wicked One. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19 in a parable. In the Bible, we're not told to fight man, but we're told to fight the devil. We're not told to fight ourselves. We're told to fight the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, listen to this. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. And then put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against, or to resist. That's what resist literally means. To stand against the wiles, or the methods, or the strategies of your own will? Of man? No, it's of the devil. He is the one that is motivating man. He is the one that is tempting you and is bringing pressure against you. He is the one going about seeing whom he may devour. James chapter 4 and verse 7. I hope by the time I'm done, there's some of you walk out here saying, "Well, that rotten devil, he's hid long enough." James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say submit yourself to God and resist your own will. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we've already looked at that. But he is our adversary, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now I ask you, who did Jesus really fight? Now the temptation is clear. When he was being tested and tried, it was the devil who he had to fight. In Ephesians chapter, when he was ministering, and he was ministering out in his ministry, he wasn't afraid of man. He wasn't fighting man. He knew who he was fighting. He was fighting what was in man and what was behind man. When Peter came against him and said, "Lord, it shall not be so. Have mercy upon yourself." He said, "I rebuke you, Satan." Because that's who came against him. It was Satan who came back at a more opportune time. Now let me ask you this. In his battle, and by the way, Jesus won. Who did he overcome? He's the devil. He overcame the devil. That's who he fought and that's who he overcame. Man killed him. Man succeeded. It was the Sadducees. They succeeded. It was Satan who was defeated. And that's who his enemy was. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Jesus came in the flesh. Now you're constantly seeing how your will is part of this. But don't miss the revelation. Camp number 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That's the one who had the power. That's the one whom he had destroyed. That's the one that he was manifested to destroy. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, that's what it says. For this reason the Son of God was manifested. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come to destroy man's will. He didn't come to fight man's will. He came to destroy the devil so that man could do what he wanted to do in that inner man. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. It was the principalities and it was the powers in heavenly places. Whenever we look behind the scenes, in the Old Testament and in the New, we find it's Satan who was there. When you look back at Eve and her fall, we find that it was Satan that tempted her and caused her to fall. It was the subtlety of the devil that caused her to fall. When we look in the Old Testament, we see Job. We find that it was the devil that was behind that to try to cause him to fall. When we look and see Joshua the high priest in Zechariah 3, we see it was the devil that was resisting. They couldn't see it. They didn't know what was going on. They were having difficulty. It was a problem. They were trying to rebuild the temple and carry things out, and they were being resisted. And it was the devil. Ahab and his prophets, it was the devil that was in them as a lying prophet. It was that spirit of Satan that came. Saul was troubled, but he was troubled because of an evil spirit. The sowing of the tares, it was the devil that sowed them. An enemy hath done this, Jesus said in the parable. An enemy hath done this. It was the Satan that moved the Jews. It was Satan that motivated Judas. It was Satan that caused the downfall of Demas. It was Satan that caused these things, and they listened, and they fell. Now, if we think it's man who is our greatest enemy, then we will be deceived. Because we will put too much upon man that is not on man. We will end up fearing man when we're trying to do just the opposite. Because if you put more on him than you realize, then you will fall. And so we need to not do that. We will also manifest wrong attitudes towards man. If you think he's your enemy, my, you'll be in the flesh a lot, probably. You get all upset at him. You're not going to be able to love him in spite of himself. You're not going to be able to see behind all of that veneer. You're not going to be able to see behind all of that hatred that's come flying out at you. You're going to respond wrong to him. If you think it's man, you're going to treat your mate wrong. It's the devil. They say things. They didn't really mean to say them. You take it as it comes to man, you're going to fight the wrong battle. You're going to accuse and blame some person when you should be accusing and blaming the devil and fighting the devil. That's what you should be fighting. And you shouldn't be fighting their will either. You call it out on their will and you're going to put them under condemnation and beat them to the ground because they didn't want to say it either. Did you hear that? There's another battle going on behind. And without recognizing, you'll never be able to love your enemies and pray for those that curse you and despitefully use you. You'll never be able to respond to man right if you think it's man or if you think it's will. If we think it's our own will, we'll end up fighting ourselves. Fighting ourselves. Now, everybody that raised their hand, I think it's their own will. I don't know how much you... I'm not saying that you fulfill to a T everything I'm saying here about those who think it's their own will. But I have a feeling that many of us do, more than we realize. We end up blaming ourselves because we did that thing and somebody, and we feel we now are going to eat the fruit of the thing that we did that was wrong. And then we look at ourselves and we say, what a horrible person I am. Oh, you horrible will. Look at you have chosen sin. And yet we'll turn right around and say, but I didn't want to do it. And we got this turn and quit and we become acting like a schizophrenic, whatever his name is. And we start fighting ourselves. We say, oh, Will, why don't you come into line? And you end up becoming hopeless. Because here's this thing that no matter how you beat on it, and no matter how you fight it, it comes up and does its own thing anyway. And you're missing something very important and very vital. You'll end up eventually becoming passive in your will. Because you're going to fight that thing and it's going to stay right there. And you're going to cry out like Paul, only you're not going to have any deliverance. You're going to say, who is going to deliver me from the body of this death? And you're not going to have any answer. Because that thing keeps rising up in you. And you wish you would, and then you fight that thing and you fight that thing. And you're going to end up judging yourself by your actions and your failures. And you're going to end up having a little blackboard and you're going to mark all your brownie points. And you're going to mark all your detriments over here. And you're going to become a tool of the devil. And you're going to become, that's right, yourself. You yourself will become a tool of the devil. And Satan is the one who's fighting. And you'll do just like what Satan did to Luther. And he came to Luther and Luther was getting the revelation on justification by faith. And he came to Luther and he said, but you're a sinner man. You should feel horrible. You should feel rotten. And let me show you what you have done. Luther said, all right, show me what I've done. He began to write on the wall. And he wrote, and he wrote, and he wrote. Is that all you've got? He said, no. And he kept writing, and he kept writing. Is that all you've got? And he said, no. And he kept writing, and he kept writing. The wall was filled. Is that all you've got? And he said, no. Disappeared. He started writing again. And you know what he did? He took his inkwell, and he took that thing. I can't remember. I don't think that was the time he threw it at the wall. But this is the time he took it up, and he wrote on that wall where the devil had written all of his sins, justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Justified. Now, those of you that think it's your own will, you can't write that. You write up on there, you're right, devil. That's what you write. And you become hopeless, and you become condemned, and you beat on yourself, and you become your own worst enemy. But it's the devil who is your enemy behind it all. He is the one who is fighting. He is the one who is motivating. He's the one who is lying. He's the one who is stealing from you. Now, I'd like to look back at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Now it says in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now those of you in the second camp, you know, you grab that scripture. And that's it's a truth that you have to decide. There is no doubt about it. But that will in you to decide is not your enemy. That is not your enemy. Look at the next verse. Why do you work it out with fear and trembling? Because it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You don't fight your will, brethren. You yield. You yield to what God has created within. That's why you do it with fear and trembling, because it is God working within you, and you would be resisting God not to yield unto the movings and the goadings of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the point where many are deceived, and they fail because they don't recognize who their enemy is, and at time of failure, they begin to fight the wrong one. And it only ends up into a pit of despair. You've got to trust in the grace of God, and you've got to see who your enemy is and get that will to fight before you're going to be able to overcome. Now, God works in you to will. God works in you to will. And I have talked with some people that have had some pretty lousy track records. And some that have been, I'm thinking of one particular man. And yet, when you begin to talk to him, begin to share with him, and get right down to the bottom root, the real basis, he really begins to open up, and he really begins to be honest. You know what he says? I want to walk with God something desperately. I want God. I do want God. I do love God. I do want to serve Him. I want to serve Him. I want Him desperately. And this brother will, you know, he'll go through it, and he'll be battled, and he'll have difficulties, and he's got problems in the flesh and whatnot. And he hadn't quite gotten this revelation. And it just brought him into hopelessness and despair. And so he kept falling. And the very thing that kept him falling, he'd fight his will. He said he just don't have strong enough will. But when he got really honest, he could see that he did want God. And he blamed his own will, but it was the devil that was causing the bad track record. Why? Because he was making him look at his will, and he thought, I'm such a failure. You just give up. What can I do to change it? This thing keeps rising up within me. In Romans chapter 7, in verse 22, Paul is talking about the believer. And this is what he says. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And he's putting himself as an example of all believers here in this portion. I delight in the law of God after the inner man. The problem is not your will. The problem is not that desire and that delight. Too often people beat and blame themselves for what the devil did. He comes along. He puts pressure. He gives lies. You fall. You fall to that pressure. You yield to that or whatever. It hits you. It hits you hard. You're weak. You're in a hard state. You're in a bad state. And so bad fruit is produced. And instead of fighting the devil, you blame yourself. And you begin to beat on yourself. And you begin to hate yourself. And you begin to wonder what's wrong with you. And you begin to push down on yourself. And the whole time the devil is just adding to the flame. And he brings up, oh yeah, remember this too. Yeah, don't leave that out. Now, you know, if you really want to be good to God, just let him see all of your filth. I mean, let's be honest now. And don't forget this aspect over here either. Oh, and wasn't that a bad attitude? You know, and he brings all that stuff up. And there you are, beat and beat and beat. The failure, I say, is not because they were such a horrible person. And not because they did not have the will to walk with God. But because they failed to feed their spiritual man. Failure to live in the Spirit and be strong. You see, you are a wonderful spirit, a person. You are a wonderful person. And the Bible says definitely that they that are in Christ will not be condemned. There is no condemnation. And so they are continually going against the Word of God because they're not believing the truth. And they're condemning themselves. God does not want you to be hard on yourself. He rather wants you to baby yourself and spoil yourself. Now, I'll take this in the right way. That is, by feeding yourself on the Spirit and just glutting yourself on the Holy Ghost. Now, I'd like to go real slowly here through Romans chapter 7. So let's turn there, starting at verse 14. Romans 7 and verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. It's a real problem. That old carnal man, I'm carnal, sold under sin. Therefore, the things that I would do, I don't. Then what I want to do, I don't do it. And what I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Because I say that this is right and this is good, and I want to do it, but I can't do it. It shows that that law is bigger than me. It is more wonderful than I am. It is up there as the supreme example, as the ultimate to attain to. And I can't attain to it. And that shows that it's good, but I am sold under sin. Now, verse 17. This is a revelation, essentially, that I want us to get this morning. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now notice who he was talking about, who was me. Me. That is, in my flesh. In me, that is, in my flesh. So that one me that we're talking about, that I that he said, that won't do what's right, that I that won't do what's right was his flesh. So in that dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. So now in the flesh dwells something. Something dwells in the flesh. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now the I that finds it not is that flesh that has this no good dwelling in it. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I don't do it. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, look, there's two I's in there. For the good that I would, you want to do good. I don't do it. But that's another I. The good that you want to do, the other I won't do. But the evil which I would not do, and that's that inner man, that I do. And that's another I. There's two I's there. You're not a schizophrenic. There's not two different wills in you. There's not two different souls in you. Your soul has made a choice. Your soul has made a decision. There's not two. There's only one.
Right.
Now, it is true that if you do feed on the flesh and you do yield to the Spirit of God, and there's no doubt that the will is involved. There is no doubt about that. But I'm trying to show you who your adversary is. I'm trying to show you who your enemy is. And there is a truth that our will, there is a definite subjection of the will. Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but thy will. There are two wills, and there needs to be a submission of that will. But it's the devil who is our adversary and the one that we must fight. Now, verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, and I want you to hear this, it is no more I that doeth. Did you get that? If I do what I don't want to do, then that's not me. That's not me. Hey, wait a minute. You just did something you didn't want to do. Well, then it's not me that did it. That's what he's saying. If I do what I don't want to do, then it's not me that did it. It was something else. It was not I that did it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Sin that dwelleth in me. There is your battle. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now he's building up to something. Paul is owning up to something that many of you need to own up to this morning. And that is, you know, I am a good person. I do delight in the law of God after the inner man. I do want God. I desire God. That's why God pleases me. I've got a lousy track record or a partially lousy track record. And let me just say this. Whether you've just sinned once today or 20 times, you all fail. You all fail. We're all deserving of judgment. Whether you sin just once, whether you sin 20 times. It's a lack of revelation in this that has kept some real precious people from having the victory. You need to own up to the fact that in your inner man, you do delight in the law of God. And you need to be thankful for that. It is God that has worked that thing in you. You need to give that unto God, just like Sister Barbara said, show unto God the good that He's done in your life and let Him take pleasure in you. You say, Lord, I love You. I want You. I want You so desperately. My, look at what You've done in me. This is wonderful. You need to own up to what God has done in your life. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There is a law of sin. Your flesh will always sin. Given free rein, it can't do anything else. Your flesh is not going to seek God and love God and serve God. Never. Your flesh is always going to sin whenever it's given free rein. And there is a law that is in that, the law of sin. And it's in your members. Now, Don taught on this a while back, and he pointed out something that I agree with him on. And that's this. You know the devil goes wherever there's weakness. The devil goes wherever there's weakness, and he preys upon weakness. Demons find their way wherever there's weakness, physical, spiritual, mental. It can be any kind of weakness, and they'll move into that area. When you have a law of sin in your members, when you have that weakness and you have yielded to that and you have fed it, I'm telling you, demons come in there. And there is a dwelling in your members. There is something dwelling in there. And it needs to be cast out. And it needs to be mortified. It needs to be put to death. And also the evil spirits put out. There is a law of sin. And there is also evil spirits that take advantage of that when we feed the flesh. So he says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now he's not going to beat himself for the rest of his life. Paul's not going to do that because he's got the revelation. He is not going to beat this old man and fight on this old man and try to put it down by his own effort and his own hatred for all the bad things that he does. And he's not going to feel all blame and everything else by the things that that flesh man does. By the thing that law of sin that is in the members does because of the yielding and the feed that it's getting. His response in verse 25 is this: I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that just lets you know he's got the victory. And then he says, so then, now this is the conclusion. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. That's the conclusion. With your mind, you serve the law of God. And with your flesh, the law of sin. So don't fight your will. Don't fight your desire for God because you delight after the law of God. Because you hunger after God. What we need to do is follow on in what he says. Now, the first thing is verse 1 in chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Right now. There is no condemnation. Because it is not you that is doing it. Because it is not you that is doing it. You yourself delight in the law of God. You love God. You want to serve Him. And so it is not you that is doing it. And that who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that's it's not there in the Greek. It's in verse 4. And it fits in verse 4. Right here is not when he wanted to say it. He goes on to explain why there's no condemnation. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is a law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And this law is in verse 3 now. He goes on to explain it. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. And see, many live under the law that battle their own will. They live under the law. And this is how they do it. The law is weak through the flesh. Now the law is perfect. The law is perfect, converting the soul. But it is weak. Why? Because all the law does is tells you when you fail. That's all it does. Now, and it won't justify you. But many of us are constantly telling ourselves when we have failed. We're showing up when we have failed. We feel it's our duty to make sure we know when we have failed. We're like that watchman on the tower of our sin. And that's what the devil's supposed to do, not us. He's the accuser. He does a good enough job. Let him alone to do it. Don't you join his pack. He is the accuser. He is the condemner. He is the attacker. He is the enemy. And he's up there pointing out every weakness. Now that the law, all it can do is show you where you have failed. All it can do is set up its standard and say you've made it or you didn't make it. Well, all of us didn't make it. So that's all the law can do to you is condemn you. That's all it can do. It can't save you. And that's what our will is often doing. Oh, you look what you did. Oh, that horrible decision. And so we end up condemning ourselves. But God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. Now, listen to what happened. Jesus Christ came in flesh and blood that He might destroy who? It says in Hebrews 2:14 that He might destroy him who has the power of death. That is the devil. He destroyed the devil through His death. That's who He destroyed. The devil, so that we do not any longer have to submit under this law of sin. That's why these lies that the devil is bringing to many are keeping them under a half rejoicing, half victorious Christian life. Because they've got this thing all the time showing them when they fail, showing them their failure as if that's something new. It should be nothing new to us. We should know the flesh is always going to do that. Par for the course, devil, shut up. I delight in the law of God after the inner man. And press on into what he's talking about here. Now, so he sent Jesus Christ in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. In other words, so that he could take the place for our sin. And so the stroke that comes down upon sin does not land on your back. It lands on the back of Christ. There is sin there. Down comes the judgment rod. And when it hits, it does not smite you. It smites Christ. Now, if you believe that, then you're going to get this revelation. I was going to say, stand to your feet because I want you to believe it so bad. You need to believe that. Many believe. And they say, but I did it. And this is where they're being deceived. When that stroke comes down upon sin, it should not land upon your back. It would land upon the back of Jesus Christ because He came in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, to condemn sin in the flesh. Now, I am not saying that you don't reap what you sow. And I am not saying that we will not be judged for our works. I'm talking about who we're going to fight. I'm talking about who our enemy is. I'm talking about who to blame. I'm talking about where to put your faith. Now, as soon as you let that rod come down upon your own back, instead of upon the back of Jesus Christ, then you are in unbelief. And you are not accepting and walking in the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. If people will walk in the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, I promise you, you will live a much straighter, a much cleaner, a life like the Scripture describes. Do you know what the kingdom of God is in the scripture? It's righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what the kingdom of God is. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And if you are looking at the sins that you commit, and I don't care how righteous you are this morning, we could ask God to show us the most righteous person here this morning. And they would undoubtedly be a very humble, a very sweet, a very precious person. You know, if God were just to do that, and there's a couple ways that He would do it. One way, He'd have all those that are born again, fill the Holy Ghost, stand up. But another way, He might look at those and He'd say, who's got the best track record? And He'd cause that person to stand, and we'd probably be surprised. Some sweet, precious soul. But you know what that soul would say? You know what that soul would say? They'd say, I shouldn't be standing. That's what they'd say. I shouldn't be standing. I'm a sinner. I sin every day. I feel horrible about my sin. That's what they would say. They hate their sin. But they're constantly, and they know that they're such a horrible sinner, they haven't got a chance to keep the law. They know they don't have a chance. And so they don't even try. And so you know what they do? They're just so thankful that Jesus forgives their sins all the time. They love Him and they praise Him and they worship Him. Their heart is free inside because they're so thankful God is their forgiver. And they sin and they fail and they make mistakes, and it's par for the course. You know, they recognize that they're weak. But they cry out to God again. They're just so thankful that they're forgiven. And they wouldn't dare let down their Jesus by letting the devil condemn them. They wouldn't dare let Jesus down. They couldn't let Jesus down. It would cause Jesus not to be as big and wonderful as He is. It would make Jesus much smaller than what He really is. It would say that Jesus does not have the power and the righteousness to justify us. And they wouldn't dare think of doing that. And so there they are standing and feeling like, I shouldn't be standing. Now, all of us should be in that place. That same attitude of mind. Now, he goes on, therefore, seeing that Jesus Christ bore that, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, now that you get the revelation, and see, this is what has to happen. You have to get the revelation that you are justified in Jesus Christ by faith, because He has already defeated the enemy. He has already borne the sin. And by taking that realm of faith, and by taking that realm of understanding, and recognizing your position in Christ, as you sin, and as you fail, and as you fall short, what you do is you throw yourself upon the grace and the mercy of God. And you feed yourself in the Spirit. And every time you sin, it makes you recognize how much weaker you are, how weak you really are. And in that weakness, you cry out to God for His Word. That's why you often find that sometimes the strongest Christians are the ones that have just gone through some horrible thing. They have just, you know, they've sinned really bad, you know. And boy, they come out of that really meek. They come out of that really tender-footed. They come out watchful. You know, they come out like that three-legged coon that Ezra Casella told us about. They come out of there really careful. And he said that they run faster than a four-legged one. I'm not sure if I still believe him. I don't know. But that's what he said. And that's exactly what happens. When I'm weak, therefore I'm strong. And Paul, therefore, glorified. He gloried God for those weaknesses and the difficulties that he came into. I don't mean you glorify God for sin in your life. But those things that come upon you and show your weakness, they cause you to draw all the nearer and cling all the stronger unto the Lord. This is why we must not fight and blame ourselves. Because then we are taking the side of the law with the devil, picking up his hammer and bringing it down upon ourselves instead of upon Christ who bore the shame and the suffering. Now, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so you can see that it is a direction towards the Spirit of God, therefore, that will fulfill this thing, and that's what your will wants. It's a direction towards the Spirit of God and the feeding on the things of the Spirit of God, and that's what your will wants. You want that. And then he goes, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. In other words, on the one hand, if you're Spirit-filled this morning, then you're not in the flesh. If you have received the Holy Spirit, you are not in the flesh. The Lord has delivered you. That law of the Spirit of life will set you free as you yield unto the Spirit of God. And then, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now the minimum requirement is that you have that begotten Spirit, that born-again Spirit, that Spirit that is given you of God. And that's the minimum requirement. Now, behind this flesh is a motivator. And behind that law of sin is the one who has the power of sin. Behind the death that he talks about here is the one who has the power of death. And so you find in your members that law. and there is a motivating factor, and there is a powerful factor, and that is the devil. And he is the one that we must fight. God is calling us to recognize our position in Christ and to begin to believe our forgiveness and to begin to rejoice no matter what has ever happened or what we've ever done, because Jesus has set us free from sin. And then to fight the devil. So often we have a weak will. Why? Because we're fighting something that we have no... It's going to be there. It's going to be there. The good that you do, you don't do. It's going to be there. And so we're fighting something that is there. And that is part of us. And you're fighting the wrong enemy. Rather, you need to be fighting the devil who has lied to you. You need to be fighting the devil that is tempting you. You need to be fighting the devil that is coming against you in his power. And of course, this is all part of our will. There's no doubt about it. The will plays a very important part. It is definitely the will. Many of the things I said about the will are still true. But I want you to understand what the adversary is and who the enemy is. And it is not your will. Because God has worked within you a good will. A will after God. A will to desire the things of God. Your armor, therefore, is by being in Christ and believing it. Notice a little bit later in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Well, let me read verse 12 first. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. And oh, I'll tell you, it is so important that you feel in debt. And that's what you'll feel when you recognize, you understand that it is your position in Christ by faith that it delivers you from this law. You become a feeling like you're in debt. You're a debtor unto God. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. So we're not in debt to the flesh. We are debtors to the Spirit. Because the Spirit has given us life. And we have the law of the Spirit of life. And therefore, we are so in debt unto God. And therefore, and that will that is inside us that loves and appreciates what God has done for us must be seen for what it is. And then this other thing that comes along and does not submit to the law of God, you must fight the devil that is motivating. You must fight the devil that is bringing his armor to bear. He's bringing demons round about you. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And so as you fight the enemy and resist him, and then give yourself the credit that you really do love God and that you really do desire Him, then as you feed upon the Spirit, you will find yourself putting to death the things of the flesh. It's through the Spirit that you mortify the deeds of the body. Now, many of us have heard this, but there is a revelation to be had. And if you find yourself at any point upset, angry against yourself, hatred against yourself, if you find yourself despairing, if you find yourself hopeless, if you find yourself in a discouragement, then know of a surety that you're deceived in this area. You're deceived in this area. You're fighting the wrong one, because if you knew and understood that your enemy was the devil and not your own will, then you would fight him and take it all out on him, and you'd give yourself the credit for what God has done within you. You'd give yourself the credit for how God has worked in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Therefore, it's our delight and it's a freedom, and we can feel good about feeding upon Christ. We can come rejoicing into His presence. That's right. Even after you've sinned, you can come before the Lord and you can say, God, but you are my righteousness. I know I'm a filthy sinner and I'm so sorry for it, and I hate that sin. And I hate the devil. But Lord, you are my Savior and you have redeemed me. You have set me free from all of this. Therefore, I'm not going to be condemned, because Jesus Christ bore that for me. That they that walk after the Spirit, and that's what I do. I love the things of the Spirit. I desire the things of the Spirit. It's not fighting your will that you need to do, brethren. It's following your will that you need to do. And not let the devil think, cause you to feel that it's you. You are your flesh. That's another I. That's another I. Jesus is asking us in this hour to look, not to ourselves, but to look to Christ's reflection of you. Christ's reflection of you, which is a whole lot different than what you think yourself think. Now, in the Old Testament, The psalmist prays, there's a couple of things. First, in the Old Testament, and I think it's Deuteronomy, God says, I will keep you as the apple of mine eye. And in the Psalms, the psalmist prays and he says, Lord, keep me as the apple of thine eye. And this word apple is a very interesting word in Hebrew. It means literally little man. Little man. Lord, keep me as a little man of your eye. Now, what's a little man of his eye? You know what a little man of his eye is? It's that little man that when you get so close to him, you see in his eye. Have you ever seen a little man in your mate's eye, gotten so close that you saw yourself? Sure, try it. You come to somebody and you look real closely and you'll see yourself reflected in their eye. Now, when you come up to Jesus and you see yourself reflected in His eye, you're going to look different than what you think you look. Because He's smiling. He is stretching out arms of love. He says, all that come unto me and I'll nowise cast out. And see, this is the dichotomy of this thing. This is how the devil has tricked so many. Because I can't come to Christ, they say. I can't. I feel so horrible. I sin. I can't come to Christ. And here all along, Jesus is saying, come on. What do you think I'm here for? I know you've sinned. Come here. It's kind of like the husband that the wife just burned to dinner, you know. They're on their honeymoon. And they're staying at a kitchenette apartment. And she cooked their first wedding meal. And she burned it. And he comes in, you know, and he's just so excited to see her. You know, it's the third day they've been married and whatnot. And he just throws his arms around her and she's all gloomy. And she's sad and her face is turned down. And he, you know, well, what's the matter? What's the matter, sweetie? Oh, everything's all right, you know. I burned your breakfast, you know. He would laugh. He would just, that'd be the funniest thing that ever happened. You know, that'd be cute. He'll always remember the first breakfast that she burned. And it'll be cute. It won't be a problem at all. Now, she walks away moping. I'm not worthy of your love. I burned your breakfast. You know, I mean, what's that husband going to do? He's just like, hey, wait a minute, sister. Who do you think I married, a cook or a wife? Come here, you know. That's what he's going to do. Let's get this straight, you know. Let's get this revelation now, beginning of our marriage. And that's exactly what God wants to do with you this morning. I'm telling you, quit fighting yourself. I'm telling you, start fighting the devil. I mean, get good and upset at what he has done. And give yourself the credit that there is a little man in the eye of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's smiling when he's looking at you. And he will in no wise cast you out. And you are a delight unto his soul. And you are a pleasure in him. And he just wants you. He just wants you. He knows you've sinned. Why do we think that God is so puny that he just totally cost him his judgment because you sinned? That is bad for God. I mean, he's pretty small. That's where he's bound. But I tell you, he is not. And so, brethren, it's really not man. And it is really not your own will. But it is the devil who is your adversary. And another plea, and I feel like I've preached this before in this congregation. And I'll probably preach it again many times. But I want to bring you a plea. And I want to bring you a plea to rush into the arms of Jesus all the time, especially when you've sinned. And be rejoicing because he does forgive your sin. And grateful because he does love you so much. And be totally awed at how great he is. I'm telling you, if you will believe that, and if you will do that, and fight the right enemy, you'll find yourself living in the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, joy, and peace. And the will that does desire after the things of God, you'll fulfill. Instead of saying, I'm not worthy, or, oh, I really don't want God, you'll say, I do want God, and I'm going to get him. And you'll find yourself in a new freedom and liberty in God. Okay. Amen. You're dismissed for 10 minutes. Those want to come up and pray, feel free to. Service will begin. Music ministry, just mount the platform at, in 10 minutes from now. God bless you.